Hello and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. It's been a little bit, I would say almost a month since we actually had a live program upon my returning from my trip to Chichen Itza and doing energy work down there. And this is your host, Esperanza Ray, welcoming you back to our show again, New Consciousness, New World. And I am the author of Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Time's Ascension into the Fifth Dimension of New Terra. And this has been the focus of this show since we started a few months ago. And I just wanted to also let you know that we are going to be changing time frames. So our show is not going to be, as of September, I should say, we'll be changing from Tuesdays to actually Monday evenings, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 8 p.m. East Coast time, where I am located. So I'm hoping that this will be a new opportunity for those of you who, for people who have not had an opportunity to join the show to join us, and those of you who have been with us would love to join us at a later hour where you can actually participate more. So let's review a little bit where we have been leaving off, because we are in the very important, or I consider the most important part of the book right now, which is the future. And specifically, we addressed the crystal cities last week, which I'm going to briefly review a little bit the main key points of what we discussed, and then we'll go into the next chapter. And I hope you will enjoy it and even recommend it to friends or ask them to join us on the show so that we can talk and discuss some of the events that are depicted in the book. And I just wanted to share with you that very recently, as a matter of fact, a week ago, a friend of mine was telling me how the Pleiades have been providing a message about what's going to be happening in on our planet, basically, when the ascension process starts, when things start getting cleaned up. Because basically, the ascension process has already begun, and we're gradually, it seems, moving more and more towards a more accelerated aspect of the ascension until we have ultimately reached passed over from the fourth dimension to the fifth, which we are currently on, the fourth dimension. Now, one of the things I'd like to point out at this level of awareness and consciousness that we have, not only as individuals of and home-based living here on Earth, and also affecting our planet and our current existence in our environment and in the universe and our galaxy and so on, is the fact that the fourth dimension brings in a lot of new, magnificent light, amounts of energy vibration that we have not experienced on the planet in a very, very long time. It's approximately this cycle repeats itself every 25 years, where there is a series of circumstances that kind of combine themselves and create what we are calling a quantum leap in consciousness. There are a bunch of factors involved in this process, which we, for reasons of time and a focus, are not going to really get into at this point, but we can discuss in later topics, because the goal is to cover as many of these topics individually as possible. And right now, the focus obviously is the going beyond 2012. That's the purpose of the book. And the most important aspect of the book is to provide a message of hope. My name, Esperanza Ray, means Hope King. So it means my name is very significant of the time we're living, and it's supposed to help facilitate or provide hope when there is none. And that's really what this book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, is about. So without any further delay, we have discussed in the last live program a few things that are very relevant to the topic at hand of 2012. First, I discuss how I've received this information. And basically, the process is very simple. I used a meditation technique where I go to a state called alpha. Alpha puts you in a certain vibration at a mental state, which is the same vibrational state that all universe at its perfect state, at its perfect level, vibrates at. So several things happen when you're here. One is obviously your body relaxes, and that's good for the body. The second thing that happens is that your body begins to regenerate and heal itself. So that's also very important for our mental state. Second is not just our body, but our mind is able to access knowledge that normally we are blocked at a lower vibration. So when we raise the vibrational state of our minds and of our body, we're able to access information and knowledge and data at this vibrational level, which is the alpha state. At this vibrational level, you are in contact directly with your higher self and through your higher self with the hierarchies of light and ultimately God. And so basically what happened to me is I went into this state called alpha. And while I was there, I was transported by three beams of light, two angels and a master, into a cloud that swirls around and around. And when we went into this cloud is intended for moving through time space into the past or into the present. The left represents the future and the right represents the past. So you can access either one. When we entered into the tunnel made up of clouds, we traveled in time approximately 1,400 years into the future. 1,400,000 would be a little more. Quite a bit more. So that would be incorrect. So it's basically 1,400 years into the future. However, because we are, all things are accelerating, our experience, our time, our actions, all things around us in our environment are accelerating exponentially because we are in a quantum leap right now of consciousness, then this time frame will actually occur in our space-time, and it's very important to understand that. So I just wanted you to be aware of that, all right? And the other thing that's very important is that when this is a technique that I also teach for people to help them time travel and access information in different time-space arenas of their life. So for example, you can use this technique of quantum tunneling is what I call it, to access information about your future, the decisions you make today, how they impact your future, and how to go back into the past and correct issues, problems, and other things that are relevant to your current and present state of consciousness and mind so that you can actually expand and heal the aspects of our lives. So this is what the quantum tunneling was given to me as a technique, and I use this, like I said, in my workshops. While we were addressing this, while we are talking about the crystal cities, we basically distinguish between angels with gender and angels. In reality, like I mentioned, angels do not have a gender. However, I tend to see them in male figures or male images, although also in females, but mostly they've appeared to me in male figures. And if you think back into the Bible, a lot of the angels that are discussed in the Bibles happen to have male figures as well, or male representations in their true state. Angels have no gender whatsoever. They are just beings of light, and sometimes they have a figure, much like a light bulb, pure light, and that's really their true state. Then we distinguished also between the masters. This is helping us to establish our understanding of what's going to be discussed later on in the book. So masters are usually people who have been embodied, like maybe yourself, myself, and have outdone themselves conscious-wise and expanding themselves and reaching levels of awareness that go far beyond the average person. So they have actually become masters because their purpose is they've mastered this life, and now their purpose is to teach and share these techniques and share their knowledge with us. And then ultimately, we talked about the source, which is the inherent consciousness of what is, was, and whatever can be. It is the I am present, the creator, not to be confused, and this is very important, with creation. So this is part of where we left off, and then we discussed a couple of things which are so very important keys. I knew that angels have different vibrations of energy than the ascended masters. And we, as individuals, have different vibrations, each person from the other people. And masters also have a different vibration than the angels. So I perceive this. However, it was important that they themselves made their knowledge or their information known to me in order to confirm my perception or my intuition. So let's discuss briefly vibration, a simple way to understand energy. And again, this is a very simplistic way to do so. Vibration is a wavelength, for example, in colors. Red has a different vibration from the color blue. And so the energy and vibration are different. Red vibrates at a higher and faster frequency or level. So the human eye registered as red. That specific vibration is registered as red. Blue has a slower energy vibration, so we perceive it as blue. Now, when you take blue and red and you mix them, then again, you have a different vibration. On one hand, you have a combination of the higher vibration of red and blue. And so now you get an in-between vibration that is lower or slower than red, yet a little bit higher or faster than blue. And in the same way that we have those vibrations for colors, we as people have our own vibration. That, if you take that into consideration, our vibration is in harmony with other vibrations. And that is what allows us to be attracted to a color or to another person. When the vibration of two colors clash, it kind of hits your eye and it doesn't look quite right. Well, the same is true with people. When we interact with other people, when we communicate, when we meet other people, there is something, their vibration connects with ours. And there's either a balance between them, a synchronicity, a harmony in between them, or there's just the opposite, disharmony. And most of all, clash. So then these people kind of don't like each other very much. And that is not to be confused with being a bad person or being a great person. It's simply to be understood as a different vibration, which may clash with our own. That simple. Certain vibrations, because of this, make us feel balanced, happier, peaceful. If you take into account colors, the blue colors, greens, are supposed to be calming and soothing, while the reds are supposed to provide us with energy. And sometimes if we're very hyper, they can even make us a little bit stressed out or a little bit irritated, depending on if we're really hyper at this point. And so a lot of times, to counter the effects of one vibration, you can use another vibration. For example, let's say you're irritable And if you put on clothes that are blue or green or soothing, then those colors will help to bring some level of calmness to the body, and therefore bring you back into a good vibration, a good state. The other interesting aspect of vibrations is we decide, we choose how we react or how we respond. Reacting is usually when you do not think before you respond. In other words, you just take action, and it may not necessarily be the right action. In some cases it can be, in other cases it won't. Respond is when you act accordingly in a clear, specific, even planned out response. So it's measured, it's controlled, and you determine the choice. When you react, you are usually not in control. So you do not respond. You just act, and that can be very wild, very crazy. And this principle applies to almost everything in our lives and everything in our environment. What we attract or not is based on our energy signature. Again, our energy signature determines what we attract into our lives and how we think about ourselves and others. This is a simplistic version of this principle. Now, the other thing to remember is that the current energy vibration through meditation, either transcendental meditation or going, for example, to the alpha state or just doing certain breathing exercises and chanting certain mantras, can bring our energy back into balance. If you consider, for example, when a person is exercising, basically their heart is pumping much faster and it's beating faster and faster and harder to provide more energy, more oxygen to the body so that it can move, it can leap, jump, swim, whatever it needs to do, even run in case of danger or similar situation. When we are calm or sitting down or relaxed at home, our heart has a different beat. It is much more, it's slower, of course, and it's much more continuous, and it's more even, and it's not as fast, and it's much more balanced. Well, by simply relaxing, if we're running or taking a moment to pause from our action, we can bring our heart rate back to normal. This is true when we meditate. We bring our vibration back to normal, and therefore we bring ourselves back into perfect balance and into perfect state. The more we do this on a regular basis, the more and more balanced and centered and rejuvenated we become, and we also have the opportunity to heal mind and body. We also touched on what absolute knowledge is, and this is in relation to the way we communicate. We communicate through words, through body language, through gestures, through tone, and through pitch. So we take all these into account. When you're doing absolute knowledge, you not only include all of these that I just mentioned, but you also go a step further. The communication does not need to be verbal, although it can still contain a certain level of mental sound. And the other thing that comes into play is that you're able to experience your own feelings from the knowledge and at the same time receive and understand the meaning behind the person providing the communication. So it's the closest thing that we understand to absolute knowledge is telepathy. However, the word telepathy is still limited because it simply, if you think about it, is the being able to read someone's mind. But it goes beyond that. It's almost like you're able to step into that person's shoes and really experience their intent, their own emotions, their own thoughts, and their own personal experience from the knowledge or the information they're providing. On top of that, then you add your own personal experience in association with previous experience that are relevant or related. That is why sometimes certain things people say to us invoke emotion, because it's not just what they're saying, but what we associate those thoughts and emotions to. And that's a lot where the miscommunication can happen. And you know what? Wars have been fought because of these misinterpretations, these misconceptions. We just automatically conclude and assume what a person is trying to say based on our own relational experience. In this meditation, I describe vaguely or in detail, I guess, what the vision was about. Again, this is about the crystal cities and how I was transported in space-time or beyond space-time into the future. And gradually, as we stepped through the clouds into the future, we came into, you know, the whole surroundings was just a humongous bright light. And gradually, as the eyes adjusted to the surroundings, my breath was taken away by the absolute beauty that laid before me. And I can honestly tell you, I did my best to describe in the book the details of the magnificence of this place. And there really are not words to describe anything like this. Words are just not sufficient. I don't have the terminology. I don't have the adjectives. I don't have the best I can try to do is put you into a state of meditation and try to basically walk you through the experience, and then you can kind of have a more complete perspective. So if you want to do that, if you want to sit there for a moment, if you're able to sit in a quiet place and just close your eyes and focus on the words, I'm just going to briefly touch on the vision that lay before me. I realized first that we were floating in mid-air. Gigantic crystals reached to the sky in majestic clusters below us. They were like frosted glass, translucent, yet smooth from top to bottom. They reminded me of a giant rectangular skyscraper with a top slanted at an angle. The crystals were not all the same height, but varied, much like they do in nature. With a closer look, I realized that they were buildings. They extended as far as the eye could see, yet they did not crowd each other, because in between them, luscious gardens, colorful flowers, just expanded in between these clusters of crystals, which I call the crystal cities. You could see every type of flower, plant, tree, and animal you could imagine. Wide paths serve as guidelines from cluster to cluster. There were people walking in the gardens. Everything seemed to be in perfect balance and harmony. What I did not see were roads or highways or cars or any kind of mechanical contraption. A strip of turquoise blue water glistened on the horizon. The air was so pure and clear, I could see for miles. It was almost surreal, such peace. I felt light and fresh. This is a magical place, I can honestly tell you this. Upon entering, all your troubles dissipate, and I was filled with a feeling of perfect well-being. There was so much to take in and so many questions. I was looking down on a city. We were not alone. Other people were floating past us. They looked at us, smiled, and said hello or welcome. Others sent blessings. As they spoke to us, their lips did not move or utter a word. They were using absolute knowledge. could actually feel within me their sense of joy. A group passed us. As they greeted us, I sensed all of them as one thought, and I began to feel the presence of many minds acting as one. Or was it the other way around? Maybe it's the same thing. I was actually in contact with everyone on the planet. This was one city, but I could feel the presence of millions. As I focused on a given thought, I could connect with a group specifically or a single individual. They were connecting as one mind. At the same time, there were a variety of personalities. It was a great sense of unity being connected. There is no loneliness. No loneliness exists here. There was a serenity about them, a sense of fulfillment and harmony. If I had to describe heaven, this is what it would be. We continued to observe. They seemed regal. Their clothes were luminous and flowing like silk. Actually, their bodies and clothes glow. And this reminded me of a passage that I have read in the Bible. And this is what came to mind when I saw these people. So this is something that I incorporated into the book. And it's from Mark 9:2-3. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. I imagine that they already had bleach in the time of Jesus. Okay, these are our modern translations. We all know that, but I thought that was funny, so I really put that in. I directed my thoughts to Andrew. This is Earth in 1,400 years? Yes, he replied. This is so extraordinary, and yet you say it's supposed to happen in my lifetime, I thought. That is correct. Wait. For there is much more to see and understand here, he answered. As we stood there, some of these people disappeared into the crystal structures, while others came out. There were no visible doors. They just passed through into the crystal. It was almost hypnotizing to watch them move about on what seemed to be their daily routines. So basically, this is kind of what we discussed in our last session. I believe it was August 10th, excuse me. And now we're going to talk about New Terra, which is basically a little more detail about the existence at this level. Now, one of the beings there came to us. His name was Adrian, and he explained to us, here, humanity has reached a new level of evolution. Earth has ascended into a new state of vibration known as the fifth dimension. There is no longer... Okay, now we're describing. Please note that we are describing what humanity is going to be like in 1,400 years. But it's going to happen in our lifetime. So this is what humanity is going to be like in the fifth dimension. There is no longer any need for machines, medications, or anything of physical design. Nothing is man-made through tools or inventions. Although things are produced, it is done with the power of the mind, and it's done instantly. Can you imagine that? Being able to think and manifest something? Well, you know what? We are very close to that now. As a matter of fact, be careful what you think, because the energy vibration is much higher now than it was a few years ago. So while a few years ago we were able to protect ourselves, we had what I call a safety mechanism against negative thoughts. That is constantly disappearing. And in order to bring us back into a balanced state so that we do not manifest our negativities, meditation is one of the most important factors to practice on a daily basis. And not just for you, I need this too for myself. And I have to tell you, sometimes I'm a little bit lacking in that. So Imagine a world like this. Things are produced by the power of the mind instantly, but that means also the consequences of our other actions. If our actions are positive, then our positive actions are multiplied by 3 or by 10. If our negative actions manifest, then we are also multiplied by 10, or 3 or by 10. So here is where God's incredible system of checks and balances comes into play, and it works like a beauty. There are two ways to create what is needed. One is individual creation. A person creates their own clothing, furniture, or other personal items that are needed in their daily life. Two is social creation. Two or more people in unison create a vision for what is needed, and it is manifested instantly by a couple, group, community, city, county, or the planet as a whole, for example. And of course, we can go on to the higher levels like galaxy, universe, and so on. For example, this city was manifested by the city members. Everyone visualized what they wanted and how they wanted it. Individuals need consideration, and improvements were taken into account through the visualization process. Once everyone is in agreement, guess what happens? The energy flows out from all of the people involved in this process, and guess what? It's manifested in our real world. So again, even though there's a group community vision, it also brings together the individual needs. So nothing is left out. It's a perfect civilization. Can you think of anything more heavenly than that? I personally can't. Individuals need consideration, and improvements were taken into account through the visualization process. Once everyone is in agreement, the vision is manifested instantly. The procedure was similar to an architect and his construction. The requirements are considered. The architect visualizes the building. He then draws up the plans and shares them with the builder, and changes are made as needed. Work then starts until construction is finished. The major difference, however, and this is a major difference, is that this process of creation through visualization and telepathy takes generally a few minutes. Can you imagine that? Man, I could go for a house up in the mountains in a very high peak where I could levitate to, and then just put a beautiful house there, and you could move it anywhere with your mind and thought. That would be incredible. No need for double homes in here or there. Just have one house and just teleport it anywhere. In oneness, the mind sees everything at once, almost like an instant movie, and is able to make quick decisions and changes. The vision is brought into being. There's no delay. It's instant. After the ascension, there really is no more space-time. All things happen in the now. And in reality, all things do happen in the now. There is no real, true, what we would call past. And there's no, the way we understand past to be, or the way we understand the future to be. There's none of that. All of it is happening simply at a different dimension right now. So let's just continue a little bit to look more at what the future holds for us. Even on Terra, everything occurs now. Time is an illusion. This means that everything happens in one moment. There's no real past or present. The past and future exist for you at different points in space-time, at different vibrations. On Terra, everyone has access to the past vibration. Some also have access to the future vibration. These few have overcome the energy barriers that allow us to see into what is considered the future. You need to understand that everyone has this ability, no exceptions. So why are some people able to see the future while others are not? If everyone has this ability from birth, well, simple. As you grow, you are told that this ability is wrong or imaginary. So children mostly out of fear, shut out these vibrations. They stop talking about them or they forget about them altogether. And this is not in our best interest, people. As time passes, more and more people will relearn with meditation or through other techniques how to connect again with these frequencies. If you haven't already done so, don't worry, because you will. Buddha and other ascended masters were able to see in the future. For example, Joshua, which we know him as Jesus, but his real name is Joshua, also was able to access the future, because in the Bible it talks about revelations, it talks about the future of humanity. He was able to walk on water and much, much more. In the present, the awakening of humanity is taking place in great numbers. However, sometimes it doesn't seem fast enough or numbers enough. Once, however, the critical number of enlightened beings have reached their full potential, the entire planet will be uplifted to the fourth, into the fifth dimension. Now, you're probably wondering, well, gee, why can't we just, I mean, how many people are needed, and why would we have a specific number needed? Well, think about building a home. You have to create a foundation. And in order to hold the structure, whether it's a single story or a two-story or a three-story, you have to create a certain level of strength, of support for that. You create the foundation, the basis for the structure. This is exactly what we are trying to do. And in order for us to all ascend, we have to create a support system. We have to clear out all the negativity that still exists within our thoughts, within our minds, our duality. Let that all disappear and go so that we can step and move forward into oneness and into the fifth dimensional consciousness, new world. So as we think, we manifest. In the fourth dimension, the human mind is beginning to attune to others of like mind. Manifesting your goals will be easier and more immediate. So cause and effect will be instant. That is the responsibility of enlightened beings, because we have evolved to that. There's a certain responsibility. Manifesting your goals will be easier and more immediate, so cause and effect will be instant again. For those who are aware and in balance, the transition will be intense. However, you will make it. For those not aware and out of balance, the transition will be devastating, because you will be manifesting the negative as opposed to the positive. You will not be holding the energy. You will not be holding the space. It's like building a castle on sand, and the sand just gives way. If you do not have the internal mental support that you need to sustain this vibration, it can harm you. So it is important. It is important for you to understand that there is a certain need, and for us to take action. And that time is now, people, to learn to hold that energy, to hold that balance for us. And even though things may seem turbulent, guess what? It will pass. But the choice is ultimately yours. You decide. Listen to what Victor Hugo says about this. The future has several names. For the weak, it is impossible. For the faint-hearted, it is unknown. For the thoughtful and valiant, it is ideal. You know why for the thought and valiant? Because they are able to adjust, they are able to adapt, and they have the inner strength, the stronghold to live, pass through the difficult times, the difficult moments. It doesn't mean that they skip those moments. It means that they have the strength, the integrity, the power, and the support needed to do that. We need to create that strength and that power within us. And in the shows that follow, we will get a little bit more into that. As a matter of fact, the fourth section of the book is about all of that. My guides taught me a variety of exercises and techniques in my training, which helped me to expand my awareness. The purpose of these techniques is to facilitate the ascension process and tap into the higher consciousness. You can also learn these methods and connect to the source, which is the strength, it's the stronghold, it's the support. You might say it's the love cement that holds us together. Adrian continues, there are numerous teachers and techniques that are available to you and will help humanity through this passage. Remember that when you are given a desire, you are also given all the resources needed to bring that desire into being. And this is something very important to remember. So I'm going to repeat it one more time. Remember that when you are given a desire, you are also given all the resources needed to bring that desire into being. Be receptive, open, and without judgment. The energy flows in your favor always. How you use this energy will determine what you bring about. Okay? So if we are given the desire to ascend from our duality, to ascend from our fourth dimensional consciousness, to clear our home, to create a mental support for ourselves, we are also provided with the resources, maybe not in the way we expect. Nonetheless, we are provided with exactly those resources. And it's a matter of creativity and of choice to be open-minded and adapting to that. For example, if you seek to learn, a teacher will be provided. Be reminded that things are not always what they seem, however. So that does not mean that you should just jump in with anybody you meet, but more be discerning of the people around you. And I'm so guilty of this. I've done this so many times. I just automatically trust people. But you know what? It's gotten me into a lot of situations which were not very happy ones. And now you can change that. I learned the lesson, you learn the lesson, and we all grow from all that. Not everyone who appears as a teacher is truly a teacher. Now, this is also talked about in the Bible, so I'm not the only one saying this, people. It's a fact. You must discern what is best or right for you. For example, let's say I'm teaching a workshop. You say, hey, yeah, Esperanza, she has this radio show and she talks about all these good things. She's written all a book. Yet, well, you know what? You should still be discerning if I'm the right person for you. I could be the right person to teach techniques about the ascension, but it may not be the right one for you at this point in time. Or it might be the right time for you, and later on, you are to move on to something else as well. We don't have one teacher. We usually have several teachers in our lives because we have different things to learn. So always be discerning. Never just take someone's word at hand. And I'm telling you that when I'm talking as well. You do not have to agree with what I say, and you definitely do not jump and do something. You first discern if this is the right thing for you. To accomplish this, always look into your heart to evaluate what is in front of you and determine if it is for your highest good. So that's one of the steps. Determine, take it in within your heart, and allow the heart, the emotions of the heart, to bring it up to you. And from this, you can determine if, or help to determine if it's from your highest purpose. One of the things I also do is whenever spirit provides me some direction or guidance, I ask for three confirmations to make sure that I'm not just, it's not just a passing thought. All right. And usually after a while, you kind of get the hang of it. But it's always good to confirm. It's always good because we can get out of balance and we can make one wrong choice, which can cause us some serious suffering or some serious pain. All right. The discernment process is part of your awakening, and it will serve you well as guide in your relationships, work, finances, and spirituality. Never forget the greatest truth. You are a spiritual being living a human experience. You are made in the image of God, the Creator. Therefore, you have the ability to create your environment, your reality as you understand it. So the more we understand, the more higher consciousness we have, the better we can create. Once enough of you have become aware, your energy vibration will uplift the planet. This will be the initial stepping stone to creating heaven on earth, or New Terra. This is a place where space-time no longer exists for linear beings have transcended. The universal higher consciousness will reign within you. On New Terra, all of humanity through the higher consciousness has developed the most important and powerful tool ever. And this is a tool we haven't quite even begin to touch the surface on. This tool, this precious tool, is the mind. Our mental capacity has increased greatly. In your space-time, you have people that sense beyond the physical and have special abilities. If you have taken into account that in the fifth dimension, we are using, okay, listen to this, much more of our brain capacity, imagine what we can do and accomplish now. We have reached a perfect state of being within our physical forms. Now, this is Adrian speaking, and he's from the future. We have reached a perfect state of being within our physical forms. We have a perfect world with oneness. Fear, wars, and crimes have disappeared from our minds and thus from our world. Without fear, there is peace and love. Love is all there truly is. Peace is all there really is now. This love and peace extends to our immediate environment and globally to our entire planet. It permeates into the mineral, the plant, and the animal kingdoms. What you experience within yourself, you bring into your reality. That is what we have achieved in That is what we have achieved in our new world, in your near future. Species that were extinct in your time have been recreated now, and we live in harmony with the world around us. We have reached a symbiotic relationship with all life on the planet. We are all one. We are all one mind, and we can communicate with the other species on Earth. Can you imagine that? Being able to talk to the animals, just like when we watch in these fantastic movies, and we see all these special heroes in the comic books, but having these abilities naturally, I mean, what an incredible, powerful world to be living in. And we are going to experience this. So we have reached a symbiotic relationship, and we're all one. We are all one, we're all one mind, and we can communicate with the other species on Earth. Your holy books talk about heaven on Earth. This is what we have accomplished. So even though there will be human evolution after we reach the fifth dimension, because there are really more than just five dimensions, we can pretty much say that this is the last age of illusion, okay? We will no longer have to go through this duality and things again. We will be ascending to a new level of awareness, and we will be moving to a higher vibration. Humanity, Andrew continues, humanity is currently stuck, and unless you do something about it, will lead you to your demise. For many centuries, you have been told to go within, look within, and meditate. By great spiritual leaders, by great spiritual teachers. Within yourself lies the secret of who you are. Humanity is stuck looking outside of itself. Your body is a covering, just a vehicle. You are spirit. To connect with spirit, you must go within through the heart. The energy of the spirit is interconnected with all things. It provides the ability to create your world to connect to it, and to relate to it. All of this is done through your soul. In your current reality, you connect to nature, the planet, loved ones, friends, and your family through the body. You are the creator of your world. But you do it from outside of yourself. You cannot connect your world through the creation, but only through the creator. Why do you insist on connecting from without? What do I mean by this? You think that to connect to nature, you need to go outside and sit on a grass? I can assure you the grass gets very little out of that. You hug a tree to release your stress. Well, that is good for you. What about the tree? To connect to nature is to connect with the tree itself, its energy. You can mentally project yourself within its trunk and see the life force of the tree in communion with it. You can look within a blade of grass and connect with it. You can do the same within yourself. You can connect with the life force that is within all things. All things are created by the source. Nothing exists without that energy. When you connect with all things, there's no conflict. There's no hunter or hunted. Conflict comes from fear and separation. Most importantly, you are disconnected from the energy originating from the source. In being disconnected, there's no nourishment. So you develop the need to eat. You eat animals and plants. This degrades the body by aging it. It has to physically work to eliminate that, you know. If you feed on the energy from the source, you feed on light, and the body is eternally transfigured. We will discuss this later in more detail. Adrian goes on, in the fifth dimensions, wars do not exist. Your present space-time exists in a system of duality. For good to exist, bad must exist. To experience love, you must understand fear. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You cannot appreciate relief if you have not experienced pain. This is what a dual system is all about. That is part of your reality. This is your belief. What you believe is real for you. That is how you create your reality. In the awakening experience, your belief shifts as you begin to break away and transcend your duality and move into a different vibration. You are awake. In oneness, duality cannot exist. In perfection, there's no imperfection. With love, there can be no fear. Love is all there is. This is the fundamental law and ultimate truth of the universe. Love permeates through everything. Love is the energy force that holds all things together, creates all things, and understands all things. Love is what is beyond the quantum particle. Love is an energy that when you focus your attention on it, it becomes visible. In a similar manner, when you do not focus your attention on it, it disappears. That is your perception. In reality, love is always there. The question is, are you attuned to it so you perceive it or not? So you do not perceive it. You tend to see love as an emotion or a feeling, but love is much more. Love is simple, yet it is within and around you and everything that exists. Love, simply put, is the ultimate vibration. As you vibrate in love more and more, the closer you come to oneness. Here we experience perfect health, peace, balance, and love. Love is the unifying principle that is the key. So we're going to leave off here for today because even though there's more in the chapter, honestly, we do not have more time to discuss it. But I just wanted you to understand and get a feel for how powerful and how beautiful our world is. And we'd like to invite you to join us on our next show. I believe this will probably be our last show at this time of three Eastern time and 12 Pacific. So join in September 3rd will be our first show, 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love from your host, Esperanza Ray. May you have a wonderful, powerful, loving remainder of this week.